Take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. On page 708 of the ESV Bibles. You can almost feel a societal sigh as we get to the end of 2020. It's a year that none of us have experienced before. This year upended all expectations, graduations, weddings, performances, school itself, travel. Everything was different. Many of us might be afraid to make predictions about 2021. Though that will happen this week, there'll be a lot of things in the news that review back over 2020, and there'll be a lot of people making predictions about 2021. In fact, I read one such article that said, I'm going to try to list down the surprises that will come in 2021. And I thought, you can't do that. You cannot predict a black swan. It doesn't work that way. But what struck me was nobody is really expecting 2021 to be worse. But it could be. And for some, perhaps many, it actually will be. Other parts of the world will suffer in 2021 worse than they did this year. This is why wisdom is so needed. How do we navigate these times? And last week, as we looked at the beginning part of Ecclesiastes 7, I defined wisdom as the art of steering through life and gaining a mastery of it. That's how the professors at Geneva College in teaching on wisdom define it. The art of steering through life and gaining a mastery of it. And at the turn of the year, it is an appropriate time to take stock. People kind of like round numbers. We like the turning of a calendar. You can do this anytime. But it is appropriate when the calendar turns to think about this. So, how do you find yourself today? How are you feeling in your soul? How is it with your heart? What are your hopes for 2021? Because without adjustment, you will be in the same place 12 months from now that you are now. We might have some spiritual hopes, we might have some financial hopes, but without change, without some adjustments, you will be sitting here a year from now thinking the same thing. I'd like to make some changes, maybe things will be different. So today, this week, this coming year, let the Word and the Spirit examine you. Make the needed corrections. Let's end 2020 and begin 2021 seeking wisdom. Because this is what the preacher says, beginning in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 15. In my vain life, I have seen everything. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. Be not overly righteous. Do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Be not overly wicked. Neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you should take hold of this, and from that withhold not your hand, for the one who fears God shall come out from both of them. Wisdom gives strength to the wise man, more than 10 rulers who are in a city. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. All this I have tested by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which has been is far off and deep, very deep. Who can find it out? I turned my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom in the scheme of things and to know the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is madness. And I find something more bitter than death. The woman whose heart is snares and nets and whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God escapes her, but the sinner is taken by her. Behold, this is what I found, says the preacher, while adding one thing to another to find the scheme of things, which my soul has sought repeatedly, but I have not found. One man among 1,000 I found, but a woman among all these I have not found. See, this alone I found, that God made man upright. They have sought out many schemes. Who is like the wise? And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. Ecclesiastes 7. We need wisdom from God if we are truly to flourish. And we need that wisdom because the preacher makes an observation. There's a conundrum here. Because contrary to all expectations, rights or even moral living is no guarantee of a long and prosperous life. I have seen everything, he says. There's a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. Sometimes good persons perish in spite of their goodness. Sometimes the wicked endure in spite of their wickedness. I've observed that a little bit with all of the precautions that people take because of the virus. You can take all the precautions and person still tests positive. So you wonder, how did that happen? I have followed every guideline. I have been overly cautious, and I still test positive. And then there are others who seem to not give a care about any of that. They almost seem immune. You say, how does this work? Why does it work this way? It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem just. In fact, the psalmist in Psalm 73 gives a whole psalm to this question. Why do the wicked seemingly prosper and the righteous don't? And in fact, in the middle of the psalm, he says this, all in vain I have kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. You don't know Psalm 73? That might be your homework to read Psalm 73. Because he comes out of that question. But he's dealing with that question. The whole book of Job is dealing with that question. In fact, Job's friends are thinking that there is a rule kind of in the universe and in the creation that leads to the conclusion that Job must have done something really, really wrong to suffer the way he's suffering. And they press him over and over again. Job, what have you done to bring this on yourself? It's the cry of Habakkuk. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? So what the preacher is observing in Ecclesiastes is not uncommon. The scriptures raise the same kind of question. How can this be? Is God not sovereign? Or perhaps, does he not care? Those are questions that may come from that. He's not sovereign. Okay. Things happen outside of God's control. If he's not good, he can allow really wicked things to happen, but that's not the testimony of the Scripture. God is sovereign, and he is good. So what the preacher is observing is that this situation proves that we cannot guarantee our future success by our own efforts. Wisdom, and maybe even morality, give relative advantage, but no ultimate advantage, because all die. Like the preacher's already observed this back in chapter 2, at verse 13. He says, I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceived that the same event happens to all of them. And I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so wise? I said in my heart that this also is vanity. So wisdom can give a temporary advantage, a relative advantage. Wisdom may give more strength, verse 10, than all these rulers in a city. But it cannot by itself deliver from death. So we ought not then to seek to establish ourselves on our own wisdom, on our own righteousness, lest we be confounded or devastated should verse 15 be true of us. Dedicate your life to doing what is right and having a relatively short life. Say, I'm confused then. Why have I served? That's kind of what the question is in Psalm 73. Why have I done all this if I suffer so much? We can't guarantee tomorrow. However, this does not then open the door to lawlessness. Preacher also asks, don't be a fool. Don't give yourself to wickedness and cut your life short. Because some wicked are not cut off immediately, do not presume that this will be true of you should you give yourself to that. Say, well, I have time. I'll think about eternity later. Why tempt God? Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised to any one of us. It's the fool who denies God. And he pays the price. If you have your Bibles open, turn to the left to Psalm 50 for a moment. Psalm 50 comes in front of Ecclesiastes. Psalm 50, it's on page 601. Verse 16, notice what God is saying to the wicked. What right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline. You cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought I was like you yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. God, by not acting, says, you think I'm like you. But there is a day of reckoning. There is a judgment day when we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account. So the way of wisdom takes that into account. The fear of God is to resist temptation, to establish our own righteousness as the basis for moral standing. That's the path of the Pharisee. That's the path of moralism or legalism. I think I can keep the law. And I will be accepted because I keep the law. Wisdom, on the other hand, also resists the temptation to irreligion or relativism that says, I've already been accepted, so I can do as I please. The church father Tertullian, who was a bishop of Carthage, said, just as Jesus was crucified between two thieves, so the gospel is ever crucified between two errors. Moralism and relativism. I can earn it on my own, or I can do whatever I want because I'm already accepted. The gospel is a different direction. The gospel, embraced by faith, unites us to Christ. And it robes us in His righteousness. So it gives a new heart and new affections that long for holiness. We are accepted in Christ. That doesn't mean then we live however we choose according to that old sinful nature, because that nature dies. There are new affections, new longings, and if we don't sense those, there is something wrong. Is this your experience? Have you known that newness? The new heart, the new perspective, the new affections? The growing disgust and dislike for old sinful patterns? This is the way of sanctification. We are accepted in Christ, clothed in His righteousness, and it begins then to bear fruit in actual righteousness. So perhaps 2021, you could ask God to make this true of you if it is not true so far. God, give me a heart for holiness. Give me a longing for righteousness. Let me live into Your law. We want a tender conscience. We want to walk by the Spirit. We want to do the things of God. And yet, what the preacher here observes, verse 21, well, after observing that there's not a righteous one on earth, he says, do not take to heart all the things that people say. I think we're often much more concerned about what others think of us than our own moral failures towards God. This is not a one righteous. Oh, by the way, don't take into heart the things that people say about you because you know that you have cursed others in your heart too. On our own merits, we are not okay. This is quite the indictment. There is not a righteous one on earth who does good and never sins. I'm not okay. You're not okay. Not on our own. And this is a good place to begin. The way of wisdom is a way of humility, acknowledging that fact. I am not righteous in and of myself. I do not do good. I often sin. And because this is true, there is no place then to compare ourselves with others. In fact, Paul in 2 Corinthians says, those who do such things are without understanding or are unwise. It doesn't do much good to say, well, I'm not like that person. Well, I'm better than her. I don't have that issue. See, pride makes us complacent. That means at peace with or comfortable with. Our own offenses, while being overly sensitive to those of others. Maybe I can only speak of myself. I actually don't know you. But I get irritated when other people do the very same things that I do. And I give myself a pass. Maybe I'm the only one in here who does that. Now, you know a little more about your pastor. But stuff that offends me in others, I can excuse or give good reasons for when I see it in myself. Yet what do we find? All are guilty. There is none righteous. So true wisdom acknowledges this, and then in love gives room for others. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Love doesn't keep score. Love does not take into account wrongs suffered. Love gives way. And we live that way because we understand that we are all frail. That we all fall short. So the same grace that you want to give to yourself, give to others. In 2021, that might be a place that you focus. Are you showing grace to others the way you show grace to yourself? Or maybe to deal with yourself first before criticizing others. That's the way of wisdom. That's what Jesus meant when he said, take the log out of your own eye before dealing with the speck in your brother's eye. So this preacher in Ecclesiastes has given himself to wisdom. All this I have tested by wisdom. He said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. In pursuing wisdom, the preacher has been brought up short. His mind is no match for the Creator as revealed in the creation. That creation itself, he says, beyond my capacity. I cannot fathom this. True wisdom acknowledges limits. That's again, that's part of the humility. I understand that I am not perfect. I am not righteous in and of myself. I also understand my mental limits. My accomplishments are limited. And yet we tend to boast. We boast as if we are something. But no, the scripture says, think of ourselves with sober judgment. Don't overestimate our attainments. So think back over 2020 for a moment. What have you learned about yourself? God in 2020 did a really good job of stripping away a lot of things. Kind of interesting to watch the society function with no sports. So what have you learned about yourself? Maybe you've not even sat long enough to think down that path. Let me encourage you this week to reflect. What have you learned about yourself in 2020? Take stock. Where am I? Is this a good place to be? Do I like what I have seen? Does the Lord like what I have seen? We sang from Psalm 131. The psalmist acknowledges in humility, I don't deal with matters too great. Psalm 139 is a similar kind of thought. That the thoughts of God, the work of God, is so beyond Him. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. That's humility. That's the way of wisdom. And in 2020, God has humbled the nations. What of us? Have we been humbled? How will you enter 2021? And then in these last verses, the preacher here has gone looking and seeking wisdom. And he sees there's temptations in the world. See, according to Proverbs 22, wisdom sees a threat and prepares. But the foolish are careless. Proverbs 22:3 says, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. But there is not one of us who is immune to the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in verse 26, the preacher makes this observation, which fits in with many of the warnings in the book of Proverbs. I find something more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets and whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God escapes her, but the sinner is taken by her. Again, this echoes many of the warnings in the book of Proverbs about the adulterous woman. So, men, you should take note. As you already know, pornography is ubiquitous, ever-present in our society. And it is an ever-present threat. And if you are a parent, you need to well-arm your children. Even before you think you need to. It's the world in which we live. But that's not new and it's not different. The delivery may be a little different, but it's not new. The ancient wisdom says, there's a problem with this. The book of Proverbs is full of the warnings. Pompeii was just in the news. They've discovered new things at Pompeii. But if you go to visit the ruins of Pompeii, one of the things they will comment on is the number of brothels in that small city. So pornography is nothing new, but the delivery might be. But we need to be on guard. Wisdom prepares. But that is true of every temptation. Not just lust. Maybe you need to do a study this year on envy, or gluttony, or greed, or pride, or sloth, or wrath. Maybe there's an issue that you find particularly troubling. Scripture calls it the sin that so easily entangles. If there is one that is more challenging for you, and this is the year that you will do the study to learn how to put it off and how to put on the contrary blessing. Put off the vice and put on the corresponding virtue. But be on guard. Clothe yourselves with the armor of God. Mortify the flesh. Resist the devil. Shun the world. Maybe 2021 should be the year of sanctification, where I make great strides in Christ-likeness. that we together encourage one another to make strides in Christ-likeness. Because we don't do it independently, we do it together. And that's the way of wisdom. And through this investigation, the preacher discovered a basic truth. Everyone is corrupted. Don't get distracted by the fact, he says, I looked for all this and I found one man and no woman. That's not the point. It's not like he found one upright man but no upright woman. Read the end of Proverbs 31. There's the upright woman. Rather, what he says is uprightness, which is what we would expect, is virtually non-existent. I have looked everywhere, and what I discover? God made man upright, and he has followed many devices. Humanity was created upright. Westminster Shorter Catechism, answer number 10. I will not put you on the spot. God created man, male and female, after his own image in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. And yet our first parents fell from that estate in which they were created. They fell from that estate of innocency into an estate of sin and misery. And ever since, we have gone our own way. Isaiah 53:6. We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. On our own, we are trapped. We come into the world with a corrupted nature. We are under a sentence of death. Now, how we live that out, the specific vices that afflict each one of us, will be varied from one another. You struggle with some things, perhaps that I don't. You don't struggle with some of the things I do. Wisdom says, let's help each other. So it never made much sense to me to put all the people together that have the same problem into the same group. They can't help each other. But the church can do that. Church can do that. But our particular vices, each is perverse. They are common among us. And too often they're deliberate. Because in Adam we chose to go our own way. And we inherited death. This is a hard thing to say, but in 2020, all those who died, nobody died unjustly. The wages of sin, death. God did no wrong to anyone. That's a hard truth. There is none righteous, no, not one. But there is hope. There is hope. Not in our wisdom, but in the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom from God denied himself. The wisdom from God humbled himself unto death. The wisdom from God became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the wisdom we need if we are to flourish. In Jesus, all is restored. Our relationship with God is restored. our relationship with one another is restored. Our relationship with the creation is restored. So don't seek other schemes. That's the temptation. Seek out other devices. How can I make this work for me? Rest in Jesus. Because only in Him will you find rest for your souls. We live in a troubled world. Again, as I said at the beginning, 2021 might be worse. Everybody has grand hopes for 2021 because of the vaccine. Don't put your hope in the vaccine. Our hope needs to be in the Lord God Almighty. So what's your status today? What's the state of your soul? You resting in the love of God in Christ? Or not? You're resting in Christ. There is now no longer any condemnation. You are set free from the law of sin and death. But if you are not yet in Christ, you are still under condemnation. You are still enslaved to the law of sin and death. So let me encourage you at the end of 2020, as we head into the year 2021, to do so by faith in the wisdom of God. To live to His glory and follow His lead, however He leads in this new year. But we'll embrace it by faith, knowing that God is good in all His ways. Lord God, we love You because You have loved us. And we rest in You. And our hope is in You and in You alone. We don't know what the future holds, at least not the immediate future. But we know that at Your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And so we rest in You. We acknowledge our own corruption. We acknowledge that apart from You, we can do nothing. We acknowledge that there is still corruption in us. And we need to become more serious about mortifying the flesh, resisting the devil, and shunning the world. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill us. At the end of this year and as we head into the new year, fill us. May we walk with You this week and this coming year. And may we grow in our Christ-likeness. Oh, give us this wisdom. That we might walk in Your ways. Lord, deliver us. Save us. And we will give You all the praise and the glory now and forever. Amen.